Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Search for more on how to join us with a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuonclaw@gmail.com. That's sfuonclaw@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my podcast account is sfuonclaw. Same spelling as the email address. And, of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. That's PaulFrnz. That's a note I talk about being Catholic and tech. Those are my two most favorite things. And, of course, I have a Franz Games account, which I announce things like client updates and also other news about the different websites. And, of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. So, quick news from ADB this week. Steve Cole's been busy, of course, on one play by email FedCom cards for me. Actually, that slowed down now that I told him, converting these things takes a while. So, you want to do like one or two a day, that is fine with me. And as I need to start working on converting those and also create a video to help others to create those definitions. And just a reminder for those people who don't know already, there is a free version of the FedCom rules. It's called First Missions. It doesn't have all the rules, but it's like a beginner's guide. I give you a taste of what FedCom is like. It's got it's based on the FedCom rules, but doesn't have all of the systems and everything that you get with actually the FedCom full rulebook. But it is for free, and if you want to go to, you can go to www.starfleetgames.com/federation/commanders%20/first-missions.smtml. Another way might be to actually go to the federationcommander.com website. There should be a link there for First Missions. That's probably the easiest way to find it. Moving onward and forward to the SFB Online Tournament, the Sapphire Star Tournament 4. Round 2 is half complete. We've got two games already done. Unfortunately, there are two opposite ends of the tree. So those two people have to wait for the two other games to be completed, including mine, which I'm going to be facing a Klingon at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. So you want to see a Klingon beat up on an Andromedan, please feel free to stop by and just watch the carnage. Moving on to the online client stuff, because these days I've been working on the client quite a bit. Mainly I've been focusing on the Federation Commander stuff. One thing I did was to simplify things for the Federation Commander, so it's a little more SFB-like. Not quite completely, but more. In that I now allow you, instead of having you to click on each box for each ship to fire each weapon, it now has a full list of weapons for all the ships that you currently on your side of the fence. So that, and you just select your target and then you just click, and it will automatically add that ship onto the fire list. So and then you click fire and it announces that for firing. Same thing for, drones, same thing for tractor beams, same thing for transports. The only thing that has not changed was hit and run raids, because I figured hit and run raids, that's exactly what you want, because you want basically from a certain ship, and then the idea is you click on the box that you're going to be doing hit and run raid against. So that one I decided not to change, because doing the opposite way is just nuts. Let's put it that way. because I don't think you want to have to select which box out of all the boxes in the entire ship, which one you want to hit. I don't think you want to do that. You want to be able to click on it. So I think that that's going to look better. Also, I fixed the issue shown last week. For those of you who actually looked at the video, which you might not be actually listening to this if you didn't listen to the video. But on the video, I showed an issue where the batteries weren't working the way they were supposed to be. That is now corrected. Also, I fixed the issue with multiple ships and showing the damage on the proper SSD. That was a weird one. I'm surprised no one else had actually told me about that one. But that one's fixed, so no problem. And just a note, I will be I'll be releasing a new version of the client this weekend. So if you've been waiting for support for Andromedans, have you been waiting for some of the new enhancements, bug fixes that I've been working on, you will receive them this weekend. So keep an eye out for that. I'll make sure that I post it up on the Twitter feed. I'll be putting it, on the, if you're part of the Google group, because I have a group that I announce things. And obviously, if you want to discuss the online client, discussion is really very rare. It's mostly used for an announcement. But that's there. And also, I'll be posting on Facebook and all of the other social media sites around the internet that I have accounts for. And just a reminder, when it comes to the library, sorry, no progress for this week. Complete conversion is still 2,522. We have to be converted 799, leaving a percent complete of 5.94%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have me, of course. We have Barry, and we have Gary. And we're going to be talking about the Belasco Merchant Guild. So, without further introduction to me, welcome them in. Hey, Barry, how you doing?
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Doing good.
And we should have Gary on the line too, right?
Yeah, I just want to bring it one at a time. Now, how you doing, Gary?
Not so bad.
Excellent. Yes, we're going to talk about the Belasco Merchant Guilds, and Lord have mercy, I read their history, and that was a sad history.
Their ships are different.
Oh definitely. One quick question for Gary, real quick. They're from M81. Who else is from M81? I could have sworn I remember. That sounds familiar, that galaxy.
Well,
aliens.
Basically, there was actually a thing in Captain's Log, one of the Q&A things that came up about this. And what they said is that the part of M81 that the Belasco were in, they had already fled by the time the Tholians arrived in that area. So the two species basically never met. So you don't have to worry about any kind of like overlap. But what's interesting is the reason why the Belasco fled their home galaxy in the first place is because there was some other force called the Kotanro who chased them out, basically. They thought that they were a threat to be destroyed. And now no one knows for sure, but it's been alleged that the Zosman Marauders have something to do with the Kotanro themselves. And then that's the reason why the Belasco and Zosmans hate each other.
Yeah.
But no, neither the Zosmans or Belasco will say anything about it. So it could be just a complete coincidence, or maybe the Belasco and Zosmans, because maybe there's some other galaxy or satellite galaxy or something that they ran into on the way to the Milky Way, mm-hmm. and that's why they hate each other. But it's interesting to think maybe one day, I think in the past we've talked about things like the Home Galaxy Pirates and the article on Captain's Log 41 that explains the Nebuline species that are, I don't know if they're a species or not, but the faction mm-hmm. that built the raiders to export whatever. So there's those kind of things and stuff that might one day be interesting to see explored. There's been talk about doing a Prime Directive source book for the Tholians. And that might be an interesting place to go into kind of some of these things in more detail. But it is apparently the Belasco that arrived in Omega. It doesn't say that all of them arrived. It says that like a group of Belasco. So in theory, there could be other groups of Belasco that went to other galaxies and stuff. So,
true.
Maybe more that might show up in the Milky Way as well. So, you know, I'd like to think that there is more potential for them to show up in other places and, you know, have a good reason to do so.
Right. Understood. Yeah, I read the minor bit of history that was in the Omega Master rulebook. And I saw M81. It's like, man, what the heck? That sounds familiar. Yeah, M81, that's where the Tholians came from. That's why I thought that sounded familiar. Okay, thanks, Gary. So, just before we start talking about the details about their tractor-based weapons, which are kind of nuts, and Barry and I, we talked a minor bit about the which ship would be the best for tournament cruisers, and I think we already have a disagreement there. But I'm just going to, for those people actually watching the video, hi! One thing that Shapeways does, Shapeways has 6 different Belasco ships. Well, actually, I think there are 3 mm-hmm. different ships. They're 2 different kinds. Because you got the Belasco Guild Cruiser, they're basically 2 different scales. And then have the Belasco Exchanger and the Belasco Merchant Cruiser. And there's 6 different ones. Basically, it's 3 different ships and 2 different scales. So. Mm-hmm. And that actually, that's kind of. And the interesting part about, I'm just looking at the ship design, is that they're not completely consistent in that they don't all look completely the same. Now, the Merchant Cruiser and the Guild Cruiser look very similar, and it's like, okay, you can tell they're from the same. But the Exchanger, instead of being square, it's round.
Well, bear mm-hmm. in mind that if you look on the SSDs, the Exchanger does look quite different to the cruisers and stuff. So,
It sticks to the formation, the form of the SSD. I agree 100% there. To me, that just seems kind of weird in that, you know, one's round and one's square, you know, but. Right. It might just be a form of the function of it, you know, because the Exchanger is what? It's a size class 4. It's much smaller of a ship than the cruisers. So that could be the reason behind that.
Well, the Exchanger looks like it's built around a cargo pod.
That is possible.
Whereas, most of them have pods. And the pods are some of them are bigger than others, but...
Well, the other thing to bear in mind is that if you think about another empire that has guilds very prominently, that empire, mm-hmm. each class of ship is built by a different guild. So, and mm-hmm. some of them are in different yards and stuff. So, that's why you have... now, of course, there's no prizes for guessing which empire I'm talking about. But... that empire, you can actually see there's like certain commonalities, but there's enough leeway in the history to allow it. So historically, there's 16 guilds in that are still alive in Omega by the time they get through the galactic barrier. So it's possible that there are different, you know, guilds responsible for different classes of ship, and that's why each of them kind of like goes like a slightly different way in terms of the design.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me.
Having said that, let's say we're going to use the Merchant Cruiser.
Yeah, because Gary, let me just point out the one thing that you kind of minus, like, oh, you thought the Merchant Cruiser was too powerful. Now, here's the reason why I don't think that's quite the case, and that is mm-hmm. because of most of the really heavy tractor weapons. Because with Lord have mercy, those tractor weapons are something fierce. Interesting to say, at the very least. And the rest are basically phasers. Because, let me see.
Yeah.
Because I don't see... Okay, and of course, they have...
Well, there's tachyon missiles.
Yeah, 4 tachyon missiles. Which How much does it was it the Mazeron that have the tachyon missiles?
Yeah.
How many do they normally have?
They do shipments of tachyon missiles to the Belasco starting from a certain time. So there is there is an option for some of the Belasco ships where you can subtract the BPV to replace the TM boxes with cargo boxes.
Right.
Because actually, historically, there's also rules for, like, during the Mazeron collapse, if you're running a scenario during certain years, you as a Belasco player have very limited access to tachyon missiles. So, but for that reason, there is also a rule that around that same time, you can start using shuttle bombs that you're purchasing from the Federal Republic. So that same discussion that we were having a few weeks ago about the FRA battlecruiser, whatever is decided now, if anything, for those shuttle bombs would apply here too. The main difference is that the Belasco always have it that they are only allowed to swap one shuttle for a pair or a triple later in the timeline of shuttle bombs. So they don't get the full, because the difference is that the Zosmans, when they capture shuttle bombs, they have the same limitation for the first 5 years or so, but they start their own production of shuttle bombs later on. So after Y-159, those Zosmans have unlimited access to shuttle bombs, whereas the Belasco, they never build it themselves. They just rely on shipments from the FRA. So, but now the from a tournament perspective, that would be an option for them to consider as well.
Right. The other thing to keep in mind is that the Belasco are not a traditional Navy. Their ships are more trade ships that can fight, not Navy ships there to protect regular freighters.
Correct. That's why it has so many cargo boxes.
Yeah. Right. So if you're going to, I guess, if we're going to do the merchant cruiser, we'll probably put a cargo pod in rather than a self-defense pod.
Possibly. I'd have to look at the phasers themselves because of... Here's the tough part in that the merchant cruiser doesn't have that much power. It's got, what, 38?
Well, let's say you go to 30 regular warp. Let's just standardize it on the 30 regular warp, which we do for all tournament cruisers.
Right.
Then it's got 8 auxiliary warp reactors and another 6 impulse.
Right.
So that you're up to 44 power.
Right. Do tachyon missiles cost anything to charge? I don't think they do.
No. They're like drones that way.
Right.
Well, one option would be to not take a pod at all, because that would actually improve the turn mode. Because if within the pod, it's a turn mode E, but it's D without the pod.
Yeah, that is a possibility, is get rid of the pod completely.
Wow.
Dang.
That'd be interesting just by itself, having a ship with a turn mode E in the tournament.
Yes. Well, the warp has doesn't it?
Yeah. I was actually just about to say the same thing, because a lot of the warp ships, their turn modes are crap because of the turrets, but also their sizes are kind of weird. So, like, for I might have mentioned this, but if you're ever discussing the warp, I wouldn't recommend their heavy cruiser. It's way too big. But you could take their escort cruiser and replace the turret with a turret from a more kind of traditional warp cast. Or you could even basically, because the warp themselves are divided into rival casts, so you could actually offer the escort cruiser as is, as a broad warp tournament cruiser, and have it only phasers, and that basically that's in character for them. And then modify.
Right. Well, we already did that. I don't know which podcast it was, but we did discuss the warp.
Right.
And I think we did standardize on the escort cruiser. And I think I created an escort cruiser for the warp, and it is on Starfleet Battles Online.
Okay.
It's already there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But is it like a broad warp style where it's got only phasers, or is it modified to include other warp weapons?
Oh, it's good. It includes all the weapons. It's like, I got them. Why not use them? Give it the full flavor of the warp.
Mm. Oh, no, I was just thinking, Lexi, we were talking before about how, the Romulans have like three different cruiser types and stuff, whatever, and other empires have at least the potential for that. Where the warp, character-wise, that would make sense because, as I say, the broad warp insist on, they basically reckon that phasers are the best, and their phasers up range one are, you know, they're pretty good. So, anyway, so continue.
Yeah, so as for the phaser, the options, it says, other than all the phasers on the Belasco ships must be of the same type, additionally, i.e. wide angle micro radiation, etc.
So
we know that it's got possibilities of wide angle micro radiation, but we don't have particle phasers, anti-proton phasers, or
I'm sure you're not just thinking about the shuttles, because I mean the SSD does say
rule OR 20.021, phasers. Belasco ships use optional phaser mounts. See annex number 8B. Additionally, all phasers on Belasco ships must be of the same type, wide angle, micro, radiation, etc.
Well, because I mean on the SSD itself here it says WM, R, Q, or P. But it also says phaser Q2 and phaser A are not available. I think that also means
Q's
that phaser
are available,
weren't available either.
I mentioned they said historically 60% Q2s are not available. That's correct. Okay, so these are Q1s or Q3s.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because they don't really have, I mean, they have escort variants, but they can't have the escort phasers that the Zosmans or the Empires that create those, like, quote-unquote, two weapons produce. So the Belasco are kind of more limited that way. But the handy thing about, actually, the pod is that it can have a different phaser option than the ship itself. So, I mean, if the ship is flying by itself, that's fine. But if the pod was being put back in, then that would give players the option of, you know, mixing and matching that way. Not as much as the Zosman would have, but even so.
Oh, you say you could have different phaser types in the option mounts of the pod than the rest of the ship?
Yep.
Well, basically, it's one phaser type per pod. So, for example, the Belasco have the Mercenary Dreadnought, which has two small pods. So, in theory, could have one option on the ship itself, and then a second option on pod number one, and then a third option on pod number two. So.
Okay, because it says on the SSD, optional phasers can be of any of the following types. Q2s and A's are not available. All phasers on the ship must be of the same type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the actual ship itself, that's correct. But on the pod,
you're saying it could be different. Okay, but I think that if you put a self-defense pod on a merchant cruiser, it would be overpowered.
Yeah, that's 13 phasers. Sorry, 15 phasers, 15.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you got seven P1s and eight P3s, 15 phasers. Ouch. Now, it also has fabrication, works, and repair. How are we treating that? Just three hits?
Cargo boxes.
Yep.
For what it's worth, in Federation Commander, those kind of boxes usually get turned into hull or cargo. And then, well, for most repair crews, well, there aren't that many repair ships in Fed Commander, but for the fleet repair dock, what they did is that all of those rows of repair boxes were actually turned into cargo boxes. But then the damage control number on this ship card was increased by a lot. And there was a special rule written in Captain's Log 49 saying that the FRD, if it has a ship docked inside it, it can actually use some of those, its damage control points on the ship itself.
Right.
So that's the kind of detail that wouldn't be necessary for the merchant cruiser, though. So, So just, I think cargo boxes would be fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So basically that ship has got a lot of internals.
Well, a lot of padding, yeah.
Oh my God, beyond for padding.
Eh, I disagree with that, though. Because, okay, they have 12 forward hull, they have 6 aft hull, and then they have the cargo.
Which is not that much.
Right.
Then you've got cargo, lots and lots of cargo.
Again, as Gary pointed out, we could actually have the ship without a cargo pod. So without a pod at all.
Okay, but you still have, let's see, six fabs, three works, three repair, and eight cargo.
Right.
Oh, no, 10 cargo.
Well, for comparison's sake, the Zosman Heavy Cruiser has six forward hull, six rear hull, and 14 cargo boxes. So it's not
quite as much. Nowhere near as much.
But it's not true. But I mean, it's still more than you'd expect on your average tournament ship.
Yeah, but if you look at the other systems, though,
this is also
look at the other systems. You've got what? One bridge, one emergency bridge, one OxCon. You got four shuttles standard. Boy, you got the fabs.
Well, that's cargo now.
Right, right. So yeah, it has quite a bit of cargo, but it has two labs. You know, four transporters.
Yeah.
I don't see
One question is
that's awful, really.
Well, actually, in the write up that they had in the Master Rulebook was talking about the control spaces. Like it's relatively easy to. No, it doesn't have that many to go around, so it's relatively easy to leave it uncontrolled, which could be a problem if it's... Or is that not so much an issue in the tournament?
It's. I've never seen a tournament ship ever go uncontrolled.
Yeah, even with the Orion, which has probably the least number of control spaces.
Yeah.
So...
Now, in terms of weapons...
It is possible this is really difficult because of... The bridge gets hit on two. The emergency bridge, I think, also gets hit on... Does that get hit on two or gets hit on 12? I know the OxCon gets hit on 12.
Yeah. I think Flag gets hit on two also.
Yeah. I know Flag gets hit on two because the Disdev gets hit on Flag Bridge.
Well, then the emergency is on 12 also.
Right. Okay.
But that means you need two 12 hits.
Right. Which are hard. I rarely even ever see a 2 or a 12, you know.
They're
what
rare.
About hit and run rates, though?
Oh, yeah, well, that's... Well,
you put guards on them.
Right.
Obviously, you put guards on them.
Yep. Agreed.
Oh, yeah. Four transporter.
It's not a tremendous amount. You want a lot of transporters, right. Go to Celtorians.
Yeah. But you've got, in terms of heavy weapons, you've got four focus tractor beams, six integrated warp tractors. That's 10 there, plus four tachyon missiles, plus you've got five P1s and six P3s. That's a lot. Now, having said that, all the weapons take warp power, and they cannot be held.
Right.
That's a problem.
That's the problem. That's the reason why I don't think this is too overpowered. It's because of all of the tractor weapons that require warp power. So when if you're actually... Fire your a lot of the weapons, you're not moving.
Right.
One other thing because I was just thinking that if the cargo bays are a problem, you could basically enforce the lock the bulkheads rule, because in that one, basically, you can't damage any of the cargo. It's like historically, it's basically meant to, like if the ship is on a supply run, then it's purposely trying to basically protect its cargo at the cost of the people on board it. So.
Right.
If in a tournament situation, you could basically set that as a default. If and so that means that the cargo, it's basically only there when the rest of the ship is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Mm-hmm. But okay, let's get to the rules themselves, and when it comes to some of the weapons, because we've talked about the weapons require this warp power, but we haven't described what these weapons do.
Right. Well, first of all, phasers. So you have a choice of W, M, R, Q, or P.
Right.
Or Q. Yeah. And I would think that the most powerful three are the M's, the R's, and the P's. So most people would probably take one of those three types.
Yeah. Well, the question actually for a tournament is, do we just say, okay, they're not optional. This is what you get.
Okay.
I've seen a reason why, because that's one thing we could actually tweak to make it more balanced. If we think M's are too powerful, trim them back to Q's.
No, I think,
somewhat along those lines,
Yeah.
Everything is weak, we can move
about
them up.
Because, then you'd be saying the same thing about the Zosman too, that, do you want the Zosman to be representing only the ships that are defending their home planets, in which case they have to use Mistron weapons, or do you want to represent the actual pirates? So in this case, you'd be asking the question, do you want the Belasco to represent the ships trying to defend their home space? Which, it doesn't say anything about it in the rules, but in theory, you could imagine that their home ships, maybe they standardize a bit more relative to the ones expected to go out into the rest of the galaxy.
Understood.
You could basically say that they have to have radiation phasers or quantum phasers, because that's what they use historically most of the time.
Oh.
But I don't know whether it's necessary, because if a player takes microphasers and never runs across a plasma ship, then they might not necessarily, they might have to basically deal with the consequences and stuff. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm giving that as an option that, if we want to tweak it, if we find it too powerful with the way it currently is, and when you allow to select your phasers, we can just lock it down. I think that's an option we need to leave open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Having said all that, so the focus tractor beam takes 2, 4, or 8 points of power per. Depending on whether you're doing regulars, overloads, or critical overloads.
And that's from the tractor pool. And it has, that's so weird. I say that just because of, it seems like both for the integrated warp tractor and also the focus tractor beams, both of them require warp energy from the pool.
Well, the pool has both warp energy and non-warp energy.
Yeah, and it has to be tracked
separately.
Yes, I know.
but you can then use that pool to operate the focus tractor beams or the integrated warp tractors. That pool can go anywhere you want it to.
Right. Understood. But again, and as you pointed out, the pool doesn't, it's not like a capacitor where it sticks around between turns.
Correct.
So,
other than you can use reserve warp.
Right. That's the only time that you can do that. And as it is, in tournament play, we upgraded to having 5 batteries. I'm not sure how many currently it has. As 4?
One other thing to keep in mind is the breakdown. 3 through 6.
Yep. It's like a wind auxiliary battle cruiser. Yeah.
Yeah, other than it can accelerate.
Right. So, you will not be hitting it.
No.
But
on the other hand, it does have, and the focus tractor beam is pretty simple. You put 2 points of power in, you look at the range, you fire, you roll the die, and that's how much damage it does.
Right.
And it's a little bit more accurate than a photon.
It actually reminds me of Disruptor. But it
doesn't do as much. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
It's actually a little better than Disruptor in some cases when it comes to hit. From 1 to 3, it's an automatic hit.
Yes.
You know?
Of course, it can't fire at range 0, but that's okay. So, yeah, that's basically a Disruptor. And you have 4 of them, so...
Right, and here's the wacky thing in my mind is that, okay, you actually can defend against this weapon by actually using anti-tractor.
Right.
Now, of course, if you use anti-tractor, you can use normal anti-tractor, but also if you use reserve power for anti-tractor, well, there goes your reserve power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let me go back to the focus tractor being ruled. Can you auction to put more power in? Let's see.
I don't remember. I know that's one of the other ones. You have to say flat out. I think it's part of the integrated warp tractor, one of the functions that you can do with integrated warp tractor. That, you know, it's limited, and it says, okay, you have to say, okay, this is how much I'm allocating. Boom, and that's it.
Now here's another thing: focus tractor beams. Okay, they are fired during direct fire weapons stage, but the integrated warp tractors are actually fired during the tractor phase, and the focus tractor beam cannot fire more often than once every 32 impulses.
Right. That's
painful.
That is painful.
Yeah.
And it becomes 64 impulses if you dual overload.
Yeah, if you critical overload.
Yeah, if you do the critical overload. Yeah.
Sorry, it's 1.5 overload, I should say.
Yeah, because the
critical overload is something you probably don't want to use. That's an emergency function.
No, I don't call it an emergency. I call it a death blow function. Because you triple your damage. Triple your fun.
But you use 4 times as much power. So it's less power efficient.
True.
Yeah.
And they've got split arcs as well. So you have to centralize the enemy to get all 4 of them on. Well, a lot of Omega ships are like that, but this one more so than average.
Let's see. Okay, so you decide to use the negative tractor after the weapon has hit and the amount of damage has been announced. Okay. Each point of negative tractor eliminates 1 point of damage from the single focus tractor beam.
Right.
Now, it's interesting that if you have negative tractor allocated, you can use that as negative tractor, and then later in the turn, you can use that negative tractor to fight a focus tractor beam, but the negative tractor goes away at that point.
No. It says, once the negative tractor point has been used for this purpose, it is lost and does not continue to provide protection.
So, example, Troban Cruiser uses 4 points of negative tractor resist a Belasco tractor attempt. On impulse 6, a focus tractor beam hits a Troban ship for 4 of his negative tractor points. And the Troban player chooses to use all of his 4 of his negative tractor points to block this damage, which he had which an impulse earlier he had used to repel a tractor attack.
Right.
Now he doesn't have that negative tractor to stop, but
a second attack,
a second attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course you could fire the focus tractor beam, hoping that you're going to draw out his negative tractor, and then grab him in a tractor.
Right. Oh.
Would be the proper.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna get to some of these neat little doodads that they have.
But the integrated warp tractor, oh, that's a interesting kettle of fish there.
Yes, it is. Because it has different functions that you have available. Obviously, it has a regular function as a tractor beam, but it is a low-cost tractor beam.
And longer range.
Goes all the way out to range 6 and cost half. So for range 2, it costs one point of power.
Correct.
So, which is really nice, especially the longer range, because you can stop people from coming in for that close range attack. It's like, okay, no, I'm gonna range 5. I'm gonna tractor you, and you're gonna stay at range.
Well, but remember that it, at range 5. You have to put 2.5 points of power in, and he needs 1 point of anti-tractor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood.
Yeah. But what it's really fun for is, oh, I got to range 6 of your scatter pack before it opened. I'm going to grab it and death drag it.
Yeah, but of course, I don't think there's any scatter packs in the Omega Octant. So.
Oh. But there are in the tournament.
But only Alpha, right?
Right.
And we already had the discussion about Alpha versus Omega.
Yeah, I know.
Because I to this day, I still still disagree with trying to combine them. You know, they're not designed to fight each other, really.
We've had this discussion too many times.
Yeah. Well, you keep on bringing it up, but I keep on bringing up the point that really is not a good idea.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe what you could do with the phasers is if you allow Alpha Octant Empires, then you have to say, all right, well, then the Belasco can take phaser once because there must be trading with the Alpha Empires or something.
Right.
But in the Omega, they don't have that option because there's almost not very few people use a regular phaser one, so the Belasco wouldn't have the opportunity to get it.
Just the FRA.
Well, in theory, because the Paravians have them, but I think the Jindarians might have them as well. So, but yeah, basically, with very few exceptions, and of course the Andromedans would have that thing that's kind of like a phaser 2. So,
Other interesting part about the integrated warp tractor is it has 2 tractor rotations per turn.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the warp shunting.
Yes.
That's a neat little feature.
Yeah.
And that is the ability to cause your opponent to change, to turn one, left or right. Which can be quite advantageous when you want to bring that one shield. They just move that shield, the down shield, so it's just out of reach. And go, bang, turn. All of a sudden, that down shield is now facing you.
Well, yes. But remember that.
It's pretty costly
to use it.
Yeah. It's a 1-4 to hit.
Well, it depends on the range.
Right. Maximum
and function. The enemy ship can resist the attack using reserve warp power.
Right. Yeah, but that's the one that you must decide how much immediately is used for that purpose. And then the attacker...
Add more power.
Right.
But it's not an auction. So the defender says, yes, I'm going to fight it with this much. And then the attacker can then say, nah, I'll throw in this much extra.
Right, exactly. So it's happening anyway.
Well, and then there's, after all that's done, then there's a roll.
Right. one to four to do exactly what you want. If you roll five, then it's...
You roll another die.
It's roll another die, and it could either go... And it's random. It could either not turn, or it could be turn left, or it could turn right. And then six or greater, the attempt fails completely.
Yeah. Now, one other thing. It does not reset turn or slip modes.
Yep.
Or... Yeah,
that's very important, which makes things quite interesting, because in theory that might mean that you get him to turn the one time, and then next turn they can turn back. Next impulse they can turn back.
Yes.
Also,
so it might be, and this happens during direct fire weapons phase. So you use the warp shut, turn them, but you don't have a chance to shoot. Oh, is this during
tractor?
Ooh.
Yep. Says it right there in OG 18.33. So yeah, you can have it so it turns to face you, fire at it, and then okay, you want going along your way, go, you know. Also, it's neat that once a given unit is shunted, it can actually be shunted again in another eight impulses,
right?
That's interesting,
Then you got the tractor crush, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. We're basically getting...
Yeah, going back to the shunt is equal to the true range. Is equal to the true range.
Right.
Okay. So at close range, if you're range one, it's cheap.
Yep. And especially and in tournament play, it's going to be same size. So there's no additional power costs.
Right. What is the maximum range of a warp shunt?
Six.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So the tractor crush is basically...
Your tractor person's ship.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, and then...
Right. And it's very expensive.
Yep. Well, it depends upon range again.
Right. But it's still going to, so you basically need to tractor the other guy. And then you need to use additional warp energy to do the crush.
Right.
Which breaks the tractor link. The one good thing about that is that it hits all the shields.
Right, it can go do up to 6 points of damage to each shield.
Yeah. Which, average of 3.5 times six is what, about 21 points roughly, 21 points of average damage.
Mm-hmm. Now,
that's pretty efficient.
Yeah. Now, the good part about being Andromeda is, in this case, is that there's only Andromeda has two sides, so it only gets two rolls.
It only has
a maximum of 12 points of damage that can be done.
Yeah.
Of course.
So they're not quite as well looking as the Drex.
What's that?
They're not quite as well off as the Drex, because when they fight the Andromedans with the helping rounds, each PA panel facing counts as three shield facings. Whereas here, so it's the same amount of damage overall.
It's just one.
Correct. So yeah. I think it's something similar with the Chlorophons, because the energy howitzer, it counts each PA panel facing as two shield facings rather than three. So it's not quite as efficient right. against, well, I mean, against Andros bases, like a starbase, the battle station rather is the same. But for a mothership, it's less effective.
Right.
But it does have the degradation they get.
Right. So, and then we have the tractor punch, which I think you could use all of your IWTs as tractor punches at one impulse.
Mm-hmm. And you actually can fire a tractor pulse at range zero.
Yes. So zero to six. Roll a single die, add two. If the range result is greater than the effective range, the punch is hit for 5 points of damage. So it's a little, that's actually not bad. It's about a disruptor in terms of energy efficiency. It can be used against drones with no penalty.
Right.
Okay, but it's used during regular direct fire. So basically, it's a disruptor.
Mm-hmm. Short range disruptor.
Short range disruptor, of which you've got six of them.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to your focus tractor beams.
Yep. And then, of course,
the arcs aren't great because you'd have to basically be either facing directly ahead or behind to get all 10 on arc. And also, that'd be a lot of more power you'd have to save.
Energy.
Yeah. See, that's the gotcha with these weapons, is that
their arcs suck.
Well, not that the arcs suck. But also, they require warp. A lot of the functions require warp. The tractor beam.
There is actually a note in there is a note in the Omega Master rulebook about how some players with the Belasco, what you could do is on impulse 32, hit with one half of the ship, and then on the first impulse, you've got a fresh batch of warp energy that you can account for, and then turn the ship and then hit them with the other side.
Oh, geez. So hack and slash.
Yeah, so their option, their version of hack and slash is particularly dangerous in the wrong hands, especially if you stick a battle pod in that thing, because
the other thing you can do is grab them in a tractor, rotate them, and then hit them with the other side.
Yeah, that would do it. And since it's the tractors are cheaper too, so you can, it's a lot more likely you can actually be able to tractor them.
Right. Grab them in a tractor, rotate them on impulse one, and fire.
Yep.
The only problem would be, two problems. One is because the tachyon missiles have the myopic range zone, like when they launch, you can't really pile in the missiles when you do that if you're up too close. And also, because the Belasco, they don't have any innate ability to produce negative tractor. So they have to basically, if they want to produce any at all, they have to assign at least one of their warp tractors. Correct.
Yep.
Correct. So there is that.
Yeah.
But it's of your six, you only need one for that. So there is that. Now, the other thing they have is the pressure field.
But Barry, here's the one thing that really means too. The consequence of that means that you might not be able to fire all of your IWTs. Because if you need to use them for anti-tractor work, you've got to kind of leave some not unfired, basically.
Yeah. The other thing you can use one for is a pressure field.
Right. Oh, yeah.
4 points of warp power required. And once activated, pressure field takes effect in all hexes, then the integrated warp tractor's firing arc out to range of three hexes moves with the generating ship. Units within the field are not moved, altered, or affected by the field in any way except as Okay, so pressure fields basically take size 6 or 7, except for plasmas. Okay, so affected units are can't move but are held in place. Okay, so basically they can't move, but you can move, and if you do, you don't move them. Is that correct? Is that the way I'm reading it?
Oh, I think they stay in the whatever part of the pressure field they're in. They stay in the location relative to the ship as the ship moves.
Right. So it's basically out to range 3, and it says, you shall not move. I can move, but you're not moving.
So it's almost like the warp subspace energy field.
It doesn't damage anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it also affects fighters and shuttles.
Yeah.
And it's a negative tractor doesn't affect it.
Right.
Let's see. How long does it last?
16 impulses.
16 impulses.
Or until the turn ends, whichever is less.
Wow.
Right. Okay.
So one thing I'm wondering is, say if you decide, because it says here two or more pressure fields that overlap will not affect each other. So what I'm actually thinking is, say, for example, at the start of each turn, you assign, if you're going up against a seeking weapon or a fighter heavy enemy, you decide to set two of the three IWTs on each side, aside to this mission. But you only activate one of them on impulse 17. What I'm not sure is whether or not it's continuous, the effect, basically. I think I'm not too sure is, like, when you get to the end of impulse 16 and start impulse 17, will any units that were trapped remain trapped? Or do you have to have the activation of the second one happen at the same time, the same impulse that the last impulse that the previous one's working, which means that if you only set assign two, you will not last till the end of the turn to get the full protection.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think it really would matter that much, especially if it keeps them out to range 3. You know, if they move, you know, with a momentary, you know, lapse, you know, I don't.
Well, activation and is activated during the operate tractor's step of the ship function stage. There's no delay period. So I'm assuming that it deactivates in that same stage.
Right. That makes sense.
So let's say I activated on impulse 1. It stays up till impulse 16. Or does it go? It stays up till after movement on 16. So impulse 17, I'd have to, I see what you're saying. Impulse 17, you could put,
basically it'd be down between, actually if you put it up on 1, it would go until 17.
Correct.
And then it could go to the end of the term.
Yeah, so you'd have the other one come up. Yeah, so you can basically have a whole.
Yeah.
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 Of course, it's expensive.
Right, and more to a point, which is I think that it's one of those things that you wouldn't do for the full turn unless there's actually seeking weapons going after you. But it's one of those things that you could activate because it's taken, the energy is taken out of a pool of energy. So that makes it a little more flexible in that regard, which I think it's really, that's good.
Yes. Yeah.
So the Velasco's, he's trying to play Federation Commander while everyone else is playing SFE. Because he's got his power on the go, so he's thinking more like an FC player than an SFE player.
Yeah,
that's true.
I would, it'd be interesting to see how it would be implemented in FedCom, because FedCom, you still have to do kind of like what they did with the Andromeda to a certain degree, which is, the problem is with FidCom, usually it doesn't matter anymore, whether it's warp energy or any other kind of energy. Does it?
Right. There's no differences.
Right. Yeah. Because even with like photons in FedCom, you don't say, oh, it needs 2 points of warp power. You don't care.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
Well, the only thing is that in SV, standard tractor beam only goes as far as range one. There's no range three. So for an integrated warp tractor, I was thinking that it would only be fair to have it go to range two, not range six, because in comparison to what other empires are allowed to do, two is still decent in FC terms. And so it's just one of those kind of pluses and minuses. Oh, and also in SFB, the Belasco use weird shuttles, but in FC, presumably they would just use the same shuttles as everyone else.
Right.
Well, okay. So the tractor punch would work, right? But the tractor crush, which normally could run out to range six, is now limited to range two.
Well, so I would say maybe range three.
You have to tractor somebody to use it.
Right. But so I think limiting it to range two is, I think, too short. I think range three is a little more reasonable when it comes to a conversion to FedCom. Oh, and there's one other.
Well, bear in mind that FC also lets you do things like accelerations and deceleration points. So, in terms of basically, I actually looked at the actual tractor rules are a bit more simplified in FC as well, because I don't think I can't remember if you ordinarily have the option of turning an enemy ship. Because I think some of the options in FedCom, it's more like, I'm trying to remember now. I should open up the reference rule book, but. Anyway, I think this. I don't want to distract too much from the tournament discussion that's going on right now.
Oh, understood.
But, yeah.
Oh, but there's there's also one other system which we have not even discussed, which it's not really, I think, all that useful, but I might as well just mention it here, which is, of course, the ship stabilizer.
I don't think that's even.
Oh,
why?
Well, the only benefit at all is if someone tries to ram you into the wall, the turn
wall. Right.
You could basically stop them. Or they slow them down tremendously, because basically your movement cost goes from 1 to 4.
Now, if you use that, can you do that if you're moving, or do you have to be stopped to use it?
You have to be stopped.
Mm.
Because the movement cost is not for you to move, it's for someone else to try and move you.
Yes.
Right. So you'd have to... But if you had allocated power for movement, can you use the warp stabilizer?
Trying to see now. It says here, it must be paid during energy allocation. It cannot be reserve warp energy. And it says it remains active for the duration of the scenario unless voluntarily deactivated.
Yeah.
Because really, historically, it's meant to be more for some of the smaller ships.
Right.
They can basically use this to try to, if a Zosman shows up to try and, scoot off with them, then they can do that. Oh, actually, right. One other thing is that the Belasco have the whole crew unit thing where, they put tons of crew units, but they die twice as quick. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would that still be a tournament thing? The only empire that would really matter is the soldier, because unfortunately the soldier get twice as much life energy from killing Belasco units than anyone else because of that rule.
Which is weird.
The other question is,
do they have crew units? There's no such thing as uncontrolled when it comes to not enough crew units and skeleton crews.
Right.
So, yeah, don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but in tournament, now it has a lot more boarding parties than most.
A little more. It's got 18 versus...
Well, I mean...
We just trim it down to 12.
Well, bear in mind that there's Saltorians and Paravians and Zosmans and stuff that average around 20 or so. So,
yeah.
It makes sense for them to have it. But I'm just trying to check and see the rules if they die twice as quickly as well.
I'm not sure if they do.
Well, I think I should probably set the tachyon missile racks the same as we use on the Mazarons.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it says here, Belasco ships lose crew, but not boarding parties at twice the normal range from any source.
That's correct.
So, yes. So, yeah, that should be fine. But it says here they always consider the boxes as guarded. So I do think that actually it might be an option to leave the cargo destruction thing on as default, just to try to, you know, not have the Belasco player rely too much on the padding.
Well, I'll make one modification to that. The two cargo boxes in the front, in the center, leave them as regular cargo. At least you have some of the Belasco flavor for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're running without a pod. Phaser arcs aren't too bad. Actually, they're pretty good. Well, they're not too bad.
They're not awful. They're not great. You know, the FAL one with the forward extended, and that's for the phaser ones. The phaser threes, you got the FAL, FAR, and then you've got the rear, you know, one RAL and one RAR.
Right.
So rear facing, it's got squat. It's got two phaser threes that fire rear facing. So anything that gets behind the ship, he's dead. Well, if he tries to run away.
Other than the fact that he's got the integrated warp tractor back there.
Right.
Yeah. So we might want to keep it with the shuttle, with at least the shuttle bomb, right?
I would say just the historical shuttle bomb rule should be enough. Just only a single shuttle box can be swapped out for a pair of the original, like the older style shuttle bombs.
Mm-hmm.
The same as with the Suns and FRA.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
But their standard shuttles, they actually do have a, in and of themselves, they have a higher maximum warhead limit because of their size. But they're not as useful in terms of other functions. Like I think their phaser's only FA arc instead of 360.
Oh. Let's see, it doesn't say that on the SFD, but
it's under if you have the Omega Master rulebook, it's on page 266. There's OR20.S1.
266. Okay. That take 8 points of damage to destroy, but cannot move at speed greater than 5. With a single phaser that only has FA firing arc. Interesting.
Oh yeah, and they take 4 turns to arm the suicide shuttle.
Oh, where does it say that?
Near the bottom.
Let's see. If they can be armed for 1 turn longer than normal, 4 turns instead of 3 turns.
Oh, sorry, my bad. They're not required to use the 4th turn, but they have the option.
Nice.
So they can make it more powerful, suicide shuttle? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically it's a more powerful suicide, yeah.
It goes up to 24 damage points.
Yikes!
Right. Well, I would think that the shuttle bombs would be able to go up to that point, too.
Depending on which warhead you settle for the shuttle bomb. Because the thing is, to bear in mind with the shuttle bomb is that they are more quickly, there's more of a turnaround. But on the other hand as well, the Belusco ship only has one shuttle bay, so it has to choose whether it's going to use a shuttle bomb or a standard shuttle to arm at a time. So it's not quite as flexible as some of its enemies.
Well, you mean it can launch a shuttle bomb or a shuttle in a given impulse, but it can arm, you can always arm multiple suicides or shuttle bombs at the same time, right?
Trying to remember now. It basically, some of the shuttle bombs are under the same arming limitations as regular shuttles.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the number of special shuttles that can be started with is 2.
Right.
So you have like one shuttle bomb ready and one suicide shuttle ready, or 2 shuttle bombs ready.
Yeah, it might make more sense to have 2 shuttle bombs ready. And what the heck?
Oh, agreed. Especially since
the thing is that, because it does let you start the scenario with the standard shuttle armed up to the 4th turn of arming. So if you keep one of the shuttle bombs in reserve, then you don't have to wait another bunch of turns to arm it again.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I'd have to look at the shuttle bomb rules again to see how much damage they do.
Yeah, that's what I was starting to look up myself. 149. Shuttle bombs. Okay, warhead arm like suicide shuttle, except the power. Same requirement are reduced. Shuttle bomb requires 2 turns to arm, not 3. Can arm from anywhere from a half to 2 points of warp. The warhead strength is equal to 4 times the amount of total warp. So minimum of 4 is a maximum of 16.
That's until Y-175, which goes up to 20.
Yes.
And then 24 for Y-188. But I think actually the Belusco and Zosmans, they have a couple of years delay relative to the FRA. So for example, it says here the Zosmans, blah, 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 they don't get the miniaturization technology, but they can use any of the warhead improvements beginning 2 years after their employment by the FRA. For the Belusco, it's starting 1 year after, which in a tournament doesn't matter, but historically,
right. Yeah, the question is, where will we set it then?
I think I mentioned before with the when we were discussing the FRA ship, is it might be safest to start with the weakest one and only go up to the higher one if it proves necessary, like balance wise.
Okay,
because it's better than that than over egging the rule and putting people off.
Yeah. Right.
Well, another thing as well is that the shuttle bomb is faster because Belusco shuttle's coming.
These are speed 5, yeah. Yeah, how fast does the shuttle bomb move?
6, I think. Same as speed air. Yeah, I'm looking now.
Okay.
The same as a regular shuttle. So I keep thinking
So this has a lot of the same problems as the Drex. Lots of weapons and not enough energy to arm them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, when it comes to the shuttle bombs, I would prefer taking 2 regular suicide shuttles and then charge the shuttle bombs later on in the turn, later in the game, because it only takes 2 turns to fully load a shuttle bomb.
Well, the only other thing is that any shuttle that you use for that mission, you won't be able to use it for things like Wild Weasel or anything. So,
correct.
Because the ship only has, like, if you swap out one of the 4 shuttles, then that's 2 shuttle bombs and 3 admin, like Belasco admin shuttles. So if you keep one in your pocket for Wild Weasel, then you're down to two or whatever. So, or even one if you want to be extra, if you're up against someone who has like a lot of big weapon stuff. So, agreed. You know,
But, you know, that's one of those things that you are, that's at the beginning of the game, is that you decide what's going to be your special shuttles. If you're going to use Wild Weasels, because normally, at least for me, I'm not sure about anyone else, but definitely for myself, that I have to decide early on what is going to be my strategy when it comes to dealing with Seeking Weapons. Am I going to have a Wild Weasel, which I then have as my special shuttle, because you want it at the start, or am I going to use speed to run away? And of course, with the Belasco, I'd say you'd be charging those Wild Weasels the first thing, because you're not going to be running very fast just because of the weapons, especially because they require warp, and there's no holding. So
now the tractor crush is interesting, because the target need not be in the firing arc of the integrated warp tractor. Right. You can use your offside integrated warp tractors. And it just says to a consciousness function, the target must first be held in the tractor for at least one impulse. So you could do multiple. Tractor crush, I think, is, depending on the range, at close range, that could be the most efficient weapon on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do more. You have to grab somebody in the tractor, hold them for an impulse, and then tractor crush them the following impulse. So it's like, grab them, and then, but when it breaks it, then you need to wait, I think, four impulses to, because I think, there's something here. A Belasco ship which voluntarily drops a tractor link with another ship, which a tractor crushes a voluntary drop, you'd only wait four impulses before. So you do a tractor crush, you wait four impulses, you grab them in a tractor. So it's really five impulses later you can do another tractor crush.
Right.
Now, here's a bizarre part. The energy for the tractor crush, to grab them in a tractor, doesn't have to be warp power.
Right. That's the... I was thinking
now,
about that.
To do the crush portion of it, you do need warp power.
Right.
But the tractor portion doesn't have to be. But if you don't use warp power for it, your efficiency is the same as anybody else's tractor efficiency.
Dang.
And the other thing is that let's say somebody has an anti-tractor. Let's say they have 2 points of power in anti-tractor.
Mm-hmm.
So you grab them in a tractor. You voluntarily dropped it because of the tractor crush. You got to fight that anti-tractor all over again when you retractor them.
That's true. Unless you fire a focused tractor beam.
And yes, unless you fire a focused tractor beam and burn their anti-tractor.
Exactly.
Assuming that they fight it.
Assuming that, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
They can reserve it. But, yeah, lots of powerful weapons, lots of options, but not enough power for it all.
Amen. Isn't that the story of the life of most ships, though?
Yeah. Beware the Belasco ship who's star castling.
Yep. Agreed. He ain't going nowhere, and you ain't gonna beat him.
Another reason why I'm glad there's no such thing as third class against FedCom.
Oh, no kidding. Which is one thing I brought up a couple of weeks ago. I'm talking about the Federation Commander, and in that Federation Commander, you know, is actually the more pure form of SFB, because in SFB, what the saying is, speed is life, and truly, truly, Federation Commander really accentuates that point the most, because of the biggest thing is shield reinforcement. Unlike SFB and FedCom, you are limited by the amount of shield reinforcement you can do by the amount of non-disabled batteries that you still have available to you.
Versus, that was a deliberate design choice.
Agreed. But it forces you to say, okay, you can't star castle. It solves that problem pretty definitely, I think.
That's why I agree with that. That made a lot of sense.
And also, speed in forward direction is life, because FC, you have to be paid twice to go backwards.
Yes. So, no Kaufman retrograde.
Yeah.
Solves that issue.
Well, a very expensive one anyway.
Yeah, but the reason why you do a Kaufman retrograde is you can go back at a relatively, not even fast speed, you can do relatively slow speed. You always are forcing your opponent to run uphill, and you can put the additional reinforcement to the shields.
Right.
So, yeah, it's nasty.
Which is particularly a problem for the Drex, but that wouldn't be, I mean, it's a bit early for that, but in theory, once it's the turn of the Drex in FC, they would not have that option either. So it might be a little bit fairer for their enemies to be able to fight them.
Right. Okay, well, I think it's definitely getting late, so I'm going to call it a night here. Gary, Barry,
Okay. It's
been wonderful talking to you here and talking about the Belasco. I hope to see you again next week.
Well, I hope to see you Sunday.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I got to actually talk. I got to tell my wife about that. Well, it's Mother's Day, you know, but not like we're going to go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's probably seen enough of you lately.
Very true. Very true. Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Good night, all.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Good night, Gary.
Have a good night, Paul. And hopefully anyone who's interested mini-wise should check out the Blasco and Shapeways and see what they think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're watching the video, I showed them off. They're really nice. They're really cool-looking ships.
Did you show the 3D view as well? Like the
No, I didn't show the full 3D view. I didn't do that, but at least I show them. If they want to look at the 3D view, please, by all means, go to Shapeways and check it out.
Okay. Well, good. And have a good night.
You too. So we had a nice little discussion about the Belasco and the definitely different tractor weapons. And as pointed out, the biggest issue, of course, with that ship is it's got lots of tractor weapons, lots of weapons that require warp power. So, you know, that gets difficult because you can't move and chew gum at the same time. It seems like, you know, it makes things very difficult for them. You know, it limits. If you want to go relatively moderate speed, you can do some attacking, but if you want to go a faster speed, you can't be attacking hardly at all. You can chase after the guy, but you're not going to be doing anything but chasing him, possibly tractor him so they don't get away, but that's about it. Okay, well, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.